Amen. As we dismiss our children to Children's Church, those fifth grade and below, I ask you to find your Bible. Psalm chapter 124. Psalm chapter 124. You know, as you get older, amen, when you go off with a youth trip, you might lose a little bit of sleep and you realize and recognize you're no longer a youth. But you just hang along with them there at Gaston Show, you wear your happy socks. You learn a little bit when you're around them. You just celebrate and enjoy life no matter how old you may get. Because as long as you've got breath within you, God's still got a plan for you. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask you if you're going to stand on and reading God's Word this morning. Psalm chapter 124. It reads like this. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say. If the Lord has not been on our side, what would we have done when men attacked us? Then they would have swallowed us alive in their burning anger against us. Then the waters would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept over us. But praise the Lord who has not let us be ripped apart by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from a hunter's net. The net is torn and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of Yahweh, the maker of heaven and the maker of earth. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your many blessings. I pray, Father, you be with us as we look at your word this morning. May we look at it and study it with integrity. May everything done and said be according to your will and to bring honor and glory to your name. For it is in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. I really enjoyed how Brother Randy made mention that God's known by many names, but also we're focused on the name of Jesus because there's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved, and that name is Jesus Christ. So as we look at this morning's message, last week we talked about the point and how we don't need to miss the point. This week we're going to talk about what if. What if? As we see in our text, we see that even the psalmist was asking the question, what if? And in your fill in the blank that's found in the bulletins, we're going to look at three different things that we need to recognize when we have the question, what if? And let me just share this with you up front before we get started. We see in several different areas of Scripture, but the man named Thomas, called Doubting Thomas, you might consider that he asked the question, what if, on many different occasions. But here's the difference between a lot of doubters and Thomas. A lot of doubters, they get tired, they get fed up, they quit. What if comes along and they throw the towel in? Thomas searched for the truth and he found him. His name was Jesus. So we too, in our own walk following Christ, we have many different questions that we might ask on several different occasions. What if? As we look at back over this past year, we may have those moments when we ask the what if blank. They may be good, bad, indifferent, whatever it may be, but we ask the question, what if? What if I had left that alone? Or what if I had gone another direction? What if I had not done that? What if I had read God's Word? What if I'd allowed him to impact me the way he desires to? What if I'd obeyed his commands? What if I'd prayed more? These what if statements may be true and real in our lives, but let me share something with you. Life is full of many what if scenarios. And there's not a person in here that's not going to fall short and make mistakes time and time again. And I, Greg Nall, a pastor, I'm a sinner saved by grace, make more than my allotment of mistakes. But as we look and we focus upon these scriptures, I think we're going to get a different story on the what ifs. But to begin with, in our what ifs, what if we had not done this, that, or whatever my case may be, we cannot allow ourselves to be dragged down by the what ifs. We're all too often guilty, like I stated up front, of allowing ourselves to throw in the towel, to quit, to stop serving, to stop going, to stop doing, to stop living life, to stop being what God has called for us to be. We must learn from our mistakes, learn from our past circumstances, learn from our situation, and grow in our faith while we move toward where God wants us to be, the accomplishment, the thing, the person that God wants us to reach for His honor, for God's honor and for God's glory. You see, in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, Jesus said this, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Now, that's some really eye-opening scriptures. Jesus was telling his disciples in this day, and he's telling us today, his followers are not made up of half-hearted people. That's the real truth that we need to learn from that one verse of scripture. Because too often, we're often guilty of being half-hearted people worried about the what-ifs. Worried about if this takes place, the if-then situations that may transpire in our lives. When we allow these what-ifs to distract us, guess what's happening? Satan is winning. Because he's taking you off course of where God wants you to be. He's removing you from the person, the church, the community, yourself, that God so desires to make an impact and have influence to and through you to reach a world for that lovely name called Jesus. And we need to recognize and realize this. And church, we need to stop allowing Satan to steal our joy. Because we of all people should be most excited. We of all people should be ready to celebrate. And the what if questions that we should be asking ourselves is this. Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who can be against us? And we need to stand and live for Him. And stop allowing the what-if situations, scenarios, and questions to hold us back and prevent us from doing what God calls us to do. So the question now becomes, in order for us to utilize the what-ifs that I have, you see, remember, we talked about Thomas. He searched the truth. He doubted a lot, but he searched the truth. And when he found it, he was set free. Bible shares in John 8:32, the truth shall set you free. In 8:36 it says, when the truth sets you free, you are free indeed. So in those what-if scenarios and what-ifs that we have, the doubts, the questions, the thoughts that we have, search the truth. So the question now becomes, during those what-if scenarios that we all have, what should I recognize? In other words, when life is tugging at you, when life is striking you down and hitting you hard, and you begin to doubt, and you start to ask, what if? I want you to remember this question. What should I recognize? Number one, you fill in the blank. You need to recognize the favor. You need to recognize the favor. Verses 1 through 5, the psalmist, as he writes, shares with us the favor of God. He begins in verses 1 and 2 asking that if question. What if? The statement we see here in these first five verses shows and realizes, or helps us to realize, that the understanding of the psalmist was that God was there. That Romans 8:31 I shared with you a moment ago. If God is for us, who can be against us? He lived life through that, and he recognized God's favor. Christians here this morning, you too should have that same feeling. You should recognize you've probably lived through a lot of tough life situations and circumstances. You may be in the middle of it right now. But are you recognizing God's favor even in the middle of your struggles? alone, that recognition is that you have been set free by the blood of the cross in the name of Jesus, that is worth it. Because you have received mercy and grace, and you did not deserve it. Each one of us deserved punishment, deserved separation, but we've received favor from an almighty God that loves us and cares for us. In our text, we plainly see that God offered favor to his people, Israel. If God had not been on their side, the psalmist, as he works through his way through this, it shares that they would have been swallowed up alive. It shares that they would have been engulfed. It shares that they would have been swept over, washed away. Do you recognize God's favor in your life? Do you recognize God at work in your life? Look at it this way. We often allow our level of joy to be directly related to stuff. We miss the exciting moments in our lives because we become so focused on stuff. We fill our life with stuff. And stuff gets so surrounding us so much we become cluttered. And Satan's laughing. Look at how I've got Greg so focused on stuff, he's missing what God wants to accomplish. He's missing God's motive, God's intentions. He's missing God's plan for the life of not only Greg, but for the people in his life, family, church family, friends. Stuff gets in the way. Maybe you're like Greg, but you say, but God, I kind of like my stuff. So let me ask you this question. How much emphasis do you place on stuff? Let me share a little story, and I've probably shared it with you before, and I'll forget again. You'll probably hear it again another day sometime in the future. But about, I don't guess, 7-8 years ago, this thing called the Wii. It's a little game thing come out. Everybody and their brother wanted the Wii so they could play it. So did our family, our girls. They wanted the Wii. After we got it, you know what we did? Every night, we was there watching that TV just playing, having fun. Whether it be Mario Kart or whatever others, we was playing boxing and bowling or whatever, golf, whatever. Boy, we was right there with that Wii. I mean, wide open. We enjoyed it. We had fun. I enjoyed those times. 2 weeks passed by. Every night, boy, we was right there. A month passes by. Boy, we're still right there. We like our stuff. 2 months goes by. We don't play it as often. 3 months go by. 4 months go by. 5 months go by. What's next? I'm tired of the we. I want something else. Christians, are we different? We put our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ first. Come Christmas time, we're excited. Wade, we're excited about, here's Jesus, my Savior. He was born on this day. Easter comes around. We have the CEO, Christmas and Easter onlys. Come around. I don't mean that ugly, but I mean it. My Jesus means more than that, than just Christmas and Easter. Amen. He's a 24/7, 365 Lord and Savior of all. Amen. And there is no name under heaven whereby man must be saved. Either he's important to you or he is not. But like the gnarls, in time, the we faded out. So I want to encourage you with this and give you some words of wisdom. Don't let Jesus fade out. Keep him your priority. He shows and reveals you favor after favor after favor after favor. Don't miss it. Don't become so focused on stuff. Focused on going through the motions. I'll go to church on Sunday and I'm done for the week. He wants you to worship him, praise him, study him, get to know him, make him known every day of your life. He should be that important and that vital to you? Church, God's people are guilty of doing this. We're guilty of not recognizing God's favor. But I want to share with you this truth that I've seen, and I've shared it with some of you, I know on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, but the statement is this: when I leave everything in God's hands, I will eventually see God's hands in everything. Let me say that again. When I leave everything in God's hands, I will eventually see God's hands in everything. It does not say immediately, because God does not work that way. Isaiah 55, God's timing is not your timing. God's ways are not your ways, because His ways are greater than our ways. We need to trust in Him and His timing when it's right for when He says, not when we say, because we're very guilty of having that drive-through windows because of the society. We pull up and say, I want this, this, and this, and we pull up the window, we expect it to be right there, right then. And we're not satisfied if it doesn't come into our window itself the way we want it. All along, we're missing God's favor and His work in our lives. The reason the psalmist here is speaking of the favor that Israel had found was because he was reflecting upon their history. He recognized God at work in their lives. Too often we're very guilty of, in the middle of it, we don't see the forest for the trees. But when we get through it, we get a little older, we can look back, well, hindsight's 20/20. I think a lot more church people need to do a lot more reflecting on what God has done and realize He didn't just stop. He's still at work. His favor is still at work. We may not see it clearly right now, but in His timing, in His way, we will all see clearly. We will all recognize Him. We'll all be able to say, I recognize His favor. I recognize Him at work in our lives. But the reason the psalmist is seeing this thing, Psalm 124, he's reflecting back. He says, the men attacked. What if God had not been there when the men attacked? He's talking about when Egypt attacked. If not for the Red Sea or the Sea of Reeds, the waters would have engulfed them if God had not have been there. What about the, as he reflects back, if God had not have been there, the Jordan River, the raging waters that were flowing would have swept them away. But God kept His hand in the middle. He kept it divided. He kept them safely so they could go across on dry ground. Don't you find it interesting? Have you ever set a foot in a river and not got your feet wet and muddy? Not only is it amazing that God stopped the river, but they walked through on dry ground. Isn't it wonderful to see God's power and His favor? In church, I'm a firm believer that we need to do a lot more reflecting back on what God has done. Looking at the history of Israel, even during their times of rebellion, God showed them favor. Even when they bursted out against Him, God showed them favor. And we were taught as a youth, we're extreme, that here's something that we were taught. Consequences for our actions are always going to be there. Johnny Hunt shared yesterday. He said if he busted a window, he might heal from it. The person, the window that he busted, they may forgive him. The window may be repaired. It'll look just as new. But the consequence is he still has scars on his fist because he went through the window. In our lives, the bad choices that we make, we still have scars. But praise God, we can lay our every scar upon the cross, because Jesus has scars and he bore them all for you and for me. Favor. Favor that He offered to us. Forgiveness that He's given to us. Consequences will come as a result of every choice that you make. Your choices impact more than you. It impacts your family, your friends, those people around you. Oftentimes, those people that you don't even know. Favor. God shows us favor. Think back in your own life. Do you remember God showing you favor? Let me ask you one more question. Did you give Him glory? Did you praise Him, His name, even in the middle of your difficult situations? No matter how bad or how good of a life you are living right now, do you give God glory and praise His name through it all? Let me share something with you. You may be on a mountaintop right now, but I promise you, valleys come. You may be in a valley right now. Irregardless of where you're at, God is still Lord of all. And He's still showing you favor. And it may just be that that favor He's showing you and He wants for you to grab a hold of is the same favor He wants to show to that coworker, that neighbor, that enemy who needs to know Jesus. And by your life recognizing the favor, people can see Jesus through you. Are you allowing your light to shine in that way? So what do we do when we find this favor? We remember Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 24. Some of my favorite verses of scriptures. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish. For His mercies never end. Listen to this. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. I say, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will put my hope in Him. Praise the Lord that His mercies never end. Praise the Lord, they're new every morning. Why? Because Greg Nall needs it. Greg Nall needs it. Recognizing God's favor should be a desire for all His people. And if you're not recognizing it, then the next two fill in the blanks you're not living at either. And I want to share with you this up front. They go together. They go together. We should have a desire to know Christ more and to make Him known. What do I do after I recognize this favor that God offers? Number two, and you fill in the blank. What should I recognize? The worship. The most important detail for all believers is to know that we were created to worship the one and only true God. And if you're not recognizing His favor, I'll assure you, you're not worshiping. If you're not worshiping, you're not recognizing His favor. You see how they go together? Worship. How do I know this is true? His Word tells me. So bear with me. We're going to read some scripture. Faith comes by hearing, hearing from the Word of God, Romans 10:17. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 21. The people I formed for myself will declare my praise. That's a statement that God says will take place. Listen, the people I formed for myself will. It does not say might. It says will declare my praise. John 4:23, Jesus said this, but an hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Yes, the Father wants such people to worship Him. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Our Lord and God, You are worthy to receive glory and honor and power because You have created all things, and because of You, they exist and were created. You see where I'm going with this? He alone is worthy of our worship. Psalm 95:6, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before our Lord and Maker. Ask yourself that question of that statement. Am I bowing down? Am I worshiping? Am I before my Lord, my God, and my Maker? Listen to this, everyone, listen. Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Make your own attitude that of Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave, taking on the likeness of men. And when he had come as a man in his external form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross. Verse 9. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and those who are on earth and those that are under the earth. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We should recognize the praise and worship that is due to our Almighty God. No matter your thoughts here on earth, a day is coming when everyone will admit who Jesus is and will worship him. When we neglect to recognize God's favor, and we neglect to offer to him our worship, do you think we're getting it right? The answer is no. We're missing the mark. We're missing the point. Because once this statement is made, once these things transpire and take place in Philippians chapter 2, it says there's going to be a judgment. And the truth will be made known who you said Jesus was. Then according to your decision on who you say Jesus is, he will say, enter in to my joy. Well done, good and faithful servant, if you've surrendered to Christ as Savior. Or if you have not, he will say, and you don't want to hear these words, depart from me, for I never knew you. He doesn't want to say them words. But because of who he is, he will, according to your decision, on who you say Jesus is. We see this taking place in our psalm in verses 6 and 7. For he says, praise the Lord. In other words, worship him who has not let us be ripped apart by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from a hunter's net. The net is torn and we have escaped. Do you recognize God's favor? Do you recognize God's work in your life? Does your lifestyle reveal your worship to God? You see, we need to move past the recognition and we need to move to action. Because James 2:26 says this, faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Works does not save you. But because of your salvation, because you've been set free, you should be celebrating. You should recognize his favor. You should worship him and you should go to work for him. Daily. Not occasionally. Daily. So if you do worship him, this next one should be simple. Number 3, and you fill in the blank. What should I recognize? The confidence. How many of you have ever done something, whether it was a sport or an activity or something, and you did it well? Or you did something well. And that just sparked a little bit of confidence. And when you have confidence, the next time it's a little bit easier. I did this well yesterday. I think I can do it again today. And the next time it becomes easier. You see, when you put one foot in front of the other and you start walking, the next one you have confidence, the next one's going to go where it's supposed to be. And therefore, you live your life in a fashion, I have confidence. I've done this before. Same thing about favor and worship of God. When you recognize God's favor and you worship him for it, then you start to pray with doing this. Now listen, this is one of those funny words. When you pray, you expect God to respond. That shows your confidence. How many of us, when we pray, we expect God to move? We expect God to respond. God always answers prayer. Yes, no, wait. How many of us, because Greg's been guilty of it, is why I'm saying it, have watered down our prayers and we've prayed and prayed and prayed. And we've walked away, not expecting God to do anything. Because our confidence may be low. Let me share this with you. Our confidence should never be low in Him. In fact, we're given in Romans 1:20, I believe, that because of who He is and what we see in His creation, I'm paraphrasing how there I know it, but it says this, we are without excuse of recognizing who God is. That's honest. Scriptures are. We are without excuse to see God's favor. We are without excuse of not worshiping God. We are without excuse for our confidence to grow. Confidence can also be transpired into faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing from the Word of God. Romans 10:17 we shared earlier. Are you in God's Word? If faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God, so if faith comes the Word of God, where should we be to for our faith, for our confidence to grow? The Bible. Only one answer. If you're not in God's Word, you may be struggling with the favor, the worship, and the confidence. Your faith may be dwindling. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying that's one possibility. Because there's not a person in this room who does not struggle with faith. Doubting Thomas struggled with it. That's why I told you up front, because I'm going to tell you again, keep searching for the truth, and the truth will set you free. And when the truth sets you free, you are free indeed. And then your confidence, it grows. Your faith, it grows. So looking back over this past year, however many years you want to look back, asking all those what ifs while you're doing it, don't forget to look at God's favor in your life. How He worked out detail after detail after detail. He prevented this. He was there during that. He watched over you. He protected you. See, the Bible shares we worship, as we just read a moment ago, we worship God in spirit and in truth. We worship Him in spirit because we recognize His work in our lives. We may not see it, but we recognize it. We worship Him in truth because of this. We know how long the service lasted. 1 hour, 59 minutes, and 42 seconds. Let me ask you this question. When during the service did you worship God? See if we remember that. Worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Are you worshiping God? Are you here just to be here? Or did you come to worship an almighty God, for He alone is worthy? He alone is worthy of our praise and our adoration. So today's message should cause us to reflect and to recognize God's presence in our lives. Do you live and follow Christ daily? Are you recognizing His favor? Do you respond in worship? And when these take place, it cannot help for your confidence to grow. Are you living in a fashion? And does your lifestyle say, Jesus is my Savior? So if you're here this morning, as we get ready for a song of invitation, and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, those three statements, do you recognize God's favor? Are you in worship of the one true God? Is your confidence growing? If no is to one of them, no is to all of them. He just has His hand extended out saying, come home. If you're here this morning and you've not surrendered to Christ as Savior, the Bible shares in Romans 10:9-10 that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. With the heart, man believes in righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made into salvation. It's a free gift. You can't do anything to accomplish it. You can't do anything to be given it. Because he did it all on the cross. He did it for you. Nobody's good enough. He alone is worthy. So I urge you, if that's you, to call upon the name of Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. Jesus, I repent. I'm going to turn from my sinful ways. I'm going to turn to you. Jesus, forgive me. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. It's that simple. If that's you today, won't you come? Won't you come? And let's end 2018 on a celebration of Jesus, of all that he's done, and springboard into the future of 2019 and whatever God has in store for us, and let's get ready. Church, are you ready? Let's go. Lead us, brother.
Thank you. Ask if they will to remove
the covering as we observe the Lord's Supper. Ask is that you have surrendered your heart and your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and you're free to participate in our observance of the Lord's Supper. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians that we need, however, when we begin this process, we need to examine ourselves. He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting verse 27, says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy way will be guilty of sin against the body and against the blood of the Lord. So a man should examine himself in this way, and he should eat the bread and drink from the cup in repentance and in right relationship and fellowship with God." So it's important for us to get our hearts right as we observe and remember what Jesus did upon the cross. So we're going to have a moment of silence, and I'm going to ask you, Brother Joe Wood, to lead us in prayer as we examine our lives and seek God's forgiveness as we repent of our sins.
Bless each person here.
Amen. We remember what Jesus did. We remembered and celebrate. I know it's a somber and reverent time. There should be celebration and victory in your hearts because of what Christ did for us. Because we're a body, His body. And we're called to be united in Jesus. Ephesians 4:4-6 says this, "There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope at your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all." Remember the victory. Remember the broken body. He gave His life for you. This time I want to ask the deacons if they will to pass out the bread that represents the body. His body was beaten and so disfigured He was barely recognized, the scripture shares. Why? For you. Should His body look like that today? No. Body should be united, knitted together, woven together in that victory that He gave. So as we remember the victory, remember the pain, remember the suffering that you don't have to go through because He did, but remember the victory that you have, and you should be interwoven with a body of believers. Yes, the local body, but ultimately the church. So when you take one out, and you get ready, and we'll observe it in just a moment, I want you to think, this is me. And I want to be interwoven with the rest of the body, the rest of the believers, because we are the body of Christ. We are the church. Thank you. would you lead us in prayer, remembering how Jesus gave his body for us? Bible shares, says, on that night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So as a body of believers, we come together and we recognize his love for us and we remember what he did on the cross for us. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 gives us some instructions. "Therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and the perfect will of God." He gave his body. He gave his blood upon the cross. The Bible shares us that the blood is the life. That's where the cleansing takes place. That's where our sins are forgiven, because the blood was given. I'm going to ask now at this time if the deacons would to pass out the cup that represents the blood that was shed upon the cross. ask Brother Paul Gaddis if he would pray in remembrance of the blood that was shed upon the cross for us. Amen. Amen. Scriptures write this. In the same way, after supper, he also took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant established by my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me." I'm going to ask everyone if they will to stand. I'm going to dismiss a little differently this morning. We're going to sing a song instead of have a prayer. And this is going to be our prayer. What?